Hey. All right. Good morning, everyone.
It's afternoon.
Afternoon, everyone.
Great.
Coming from California.
Yeah, it's sorry. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay. So I thought what we'd do today is go back to one of the most famous parts of this week's parsha. The parsha begins, right? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Eleisav Achiv, that he sends not angels, probably, but he sends messengers to Yaak, to Esav. Esav is on his way. He finds that Esav's, you know, ready to approach him, and he gets nervous, right? He gets afraid. He's worried. Vayira Yaakov, vayetzerlo. He gets very upset, and he sends a gift, and he davens, and he splits up his camp, right? The approach of getting ready to meet Esav. But then, after he's done all of those things, so something happens that night, right? And this is like one of the most, you know, make a movie about Yaakov's life, this would probably be, you know, depending on what type of producer you are and what story you're trying to tell, right? But I can imagine if I was producing a movie about Yaakov's life, I would make it maybe not end with this story of him fighting the Malach, the Ish, right? But in a certain sense, it's sort of the apex, mm-hmm. right? Even though there's much more that comes, the kids and the fighting, that's really Yosef's life, right? That becomes almost more Yosef, less Yaakov. The apex of the Yaakov story really comes in this fight with the Ish, right? Why he starts to run away and he gets caught and he gets hurt and he changes his name, that whole story, right? And there's so many pieces to it, but I thought we would at least... You could have a whole semester, you know, on this story, because there's so much there. But let's look at this piece. I actually had more. I've had, like, when I first made the sheet of, like, the whole beginning of the story, and I was like, you know, we're never going to even get to the story if we do this. So I cut it, and let's start in source number one. So he sent out the gift to Esav, and now he is sleeping, goes to sleep in the camp. So when you go to sleep and then vayakam, you usually wake up when?
In the morning.
Vayashkem Avraham baboker, right? Vayakam balala hu means what?
He got woken up in the middle of the night.
He couldn't sleep probably, right? He's waiting to meet Esav the next morning and he wakes up in the middle of the night. He can't sleep. I'm sure none of you have ever had that experience.
Every night.
Anxious about something.
Personal about this.
Anxious about whatever is happening the next day or has happened already that you cannot sleep. I never used to be a person like that, and then
life happened.
This is
so weird. Then I became an adult with children and life. I hope it doesn't happen to me too much, but it does happen to me also sometimes. It's funny. I know now he gets up and he takes the whole family, right? And they start crossing Ma'avaya Bok, whatever that is exactly. This stream, this river, this something. They cross it. But I never thought about this—the story about the waking up in the middle of the night piece until now.
Why'd he get them up?
Like, were they not sleeping? I never really even thought about it. But that's not our main question
like,
here.
I'm not sleeping. Nobody's sleeping. It's like when you wake up your husband, I can't sleep.
V'hu lan balala hu b'machane lan resting. It could be lan v'yalen sham kibah shemesh. In the first story, as he goes to sleep to have the v'yachalom. And he has a dream, right? Lan usually means sleeping. You're right, but it does typically mean sleeping. So I never thought about it until now, but it sounds like he woke up in the middle of the night. So what do you do if you can't sleep?
Wake up your
spouse. Right? I can't sleep. Well, good. Now I can't sleep either. Thanks. Right? So that's what it sounds like, right? They all, I don't know.
Maybe did he think it would be like better or safer to go at night because then he could get there first.
Ah, good.
He woke up and had a panic.
Depends where he's going. Mm-hmm. But he wakes up, sounds like in panic, maybe. We'll have to see. He wakes up worried. We know he's worried. Vayira, the pasuk already told us earlier, Vayira, we don't have it here, but he said, Vayira Yaakov, Vayetzelah. We know he was worried, right? I think we did that a few years ago. We talked about the worry, how could he be worried? He's supposed to have bitachon. Fine. But... So what happens? Wow, Liz. Hi, coming in. We save your seat. So he crosses this you know, it's not a river, but it's a waterway, right? And he takes over everything that belongs to him, all of his, a stream. Thank you. Yeah, he takes over his stuff. And then what happens? Vayivaser Yaakov levado, vayayavik ishimo, adalos hashachar. Then what happens? He's left vayivaser. It's a very, very interesting language. I don't have a concordance. I should have one. I didn't Google or search in the Bar Ilan how many times the word vayivater, you know, comes up in the Torah. I don't think it's a lot. Right? That's for sure. I don't think it's the only time, but it's not a lot of times, I don't think. Oh, but maybe I'm wrong. But it's certainly a very specific word, right? Vayivater Yaakov levado. How would you usually translate that those words?
He was left alone.
That's what I would probably say. He was left alone. And being left alone implies what?
To me, like you're alone with your thoughts.
Okay.
You're just alone. Like, there's nobody around you.
So there's no one around you.
Physically.
But if I'm left alone, I'm not saying that's what
people
it means.
Went so,
oh, it sounds like I was abandoned.
Yeah.
I don't know, right? Was he abandoned, right? Vayivater Yaakov levado sounds like, we'll have to see. Right,
but in a huge camp, though. So, like, what did I mean? Like, he just told everybody, like,
oh, so would everybody go?
Right.
Good. So that's the question, right? People. So if you're with all these people, how's the Vayivaser Yaakov levado? How did that even happen?
Somebody once wrote a book called The Lonely Crowd.
Okay. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah. Very good. You could be with a gazillion people and be all alone at the same time. Correct. But that's
he
not.
He walked away.
This right? Sounds like he's by himself, right? Again, there are going to be answers to this question. We probably know some of them, but it's interesting, right? He takes up his whole family and all of his shvachos and avadim and he's a rich guy. All this stuff and the people that, and he brings them all with him and then it's by himself. How did he become by himself? How'd that happen? So we'll have to see.
Well, if he's okay. By himself, like where does this man come from? He's obviously not by
and
himself.
Yeah, maybe he was by himself and then the man shows up.
But it doesn't say the man shows up. It says he was left alone and he wrestles with
the man. Good. The man just appears. He doesn't even appear.
I'm envisioning it's like, let's say this is staged, like all of a sudden like, the lights start getting dark and the family kind of like
and
fades into the background. And then spotlight on like a man there also.
Man was there all along, maybe.
We're really staging this.
Right, good. We're producing a whole, good. Yeah, good. Excellent. Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. So let's keep reading. Vayar ki lo yacholo. So now somebody sees, right? Somebody sees he can't defeat him. Vayiga b'kaf yirecho. And he hurts him in some way, causes an injury on his leg or his hip. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov behav koimo. Right, and what happens in Yaakov's hip, leg, something, back of his leg, in some way is injured. Some explain dislocated. Sorry, in this battle. So who saw that he couldn't defeat him? Who saw he couldn't defeat who? Doesn't say, but from the context, what would you assume?
The angel.
The ish.
Right, the ish said he couldn't.
Right, the Torah says ish. Right. So the Ish sees he can't defeat Yaakov, so he injures him in some way. He takes almost takes a cheap shot. He's not going to win, but he takes a cheap shot to injure him. Vayomer Shachini Kala Shachar, and the angel says to Yaakov, well, again, I'm assuming that. Let's just say, and someone said to the other person, send me away because now it's daytime. Vayomer Lo Ashalechecha Ki Berachtan, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a bracha. So who's saying it to who? We always assume this is Yaakov. The angel says to Yaakov, let me go. And he says, I'm going to let you go if you give me a bracha. Vayomer elav mashimcha, vayomer Yaakov. So from the context, that is what's going on. So the man says, what's your name? He says, my name is Yaakov. Interesting, he doesn't know his name. Came to fight him. Where'd he come from? But where came to fight him? He doesn't know his name. Right, interesting. Yeah, my name is Yaakov, okay. Vayomer lo Yaakov yeamer ochimcha. Your name is no longer going to be called Yaakov. Ki'im Yisrael. Your name is now going to be Yisrael. Why? Ki sarisa im Elokim v'im anashim v'atucha. Because you, sarisa, we usually explain, means struggled. Yeah, struggled with God and with humans, and you prevailed. You, right, lo yuchalo. Right, the before the angel, we said, v'yaki lo yacholo. He knew he wouldn't be able to defeat him. So you were tuchal. You defeated. You did.
You overcame.
You overcame. Mm-hmm. Fine. Tell me your name. He says, why are you asking my name? And he gives him a bracha. Some say that his name is Lama Zetishalishmi. That's his name. His name is, why are you asking my name? But fine. But he says, "Why do you ask my name?"
It's like a prank.
Right? Joke.
On each other.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a knock-knock joke, right? And he gives him a bracha. But he cried, "Yakov Shem Alkom Piniel," and he calls the place Piniel. Ki ra'isi Elohim panim apanim batinatzan afshi. Because in this place, I saw God face to face, and I was saved. Pause. What does that tell you about his experience with the Ish?
It's so strange to fight with somebody and then be cordial. Like, hey, what's your name?
So that's
what's
also weird. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? That's also weird. But we always say...
Well, he knew that it was an angel. Like, he knew it was God. He knew it wasn't a man.
So the Torah doesn't say it's an angel. The Torah says it's an Ish. Okay. But it is fascinating that at the end of this struggle with this man, as the Torah describes it as a man, he says, I'm calling the place Peniel, the place where I saw God face to face. Well, if you're saying I saw God face to face, and also the man changes his name, which is kind of a weird thing to do if you're just like a regular man, right? So we're going to see approaches that say that this man was really an angel. But is it such a stretch to say?
Well, but the only one who ever saw Panim to Panim was Moshe.
Ah, good. That's a good point also. Right. Moshe has a unique nevuah. That's true. Yeah. He speaks to Hashem face to face. But I'm just saying, the fact that some will argue that this was an angel may not be so... Crazy. It's not a medrash necessarily, right? Okay. He finishes the conversation with the Ish... And then calls the place Piniel because I saw Hashem face to face. Well, we don't see God in this conversation. So it must be.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be literal.
Good.
I mean, it could be that I saw God, meaning I survived this
right.
night.
Correct. It doesn't have to be. God. You're right. It doesn't have to be. I'm just saying the idea that it's an angel doesn't have to be like a wild explanation of the story. Mm-hmm. It is probably a fairly reasonable thing to argue. I'm not saying it has to be true, but to argue that as a possibility, based on the shot in the text, could, you know, like we're going to see, like the Rashbam could maybe even say that, right? Who usually is very literalist, right? Okay. What?
Even the Rashbam.
Vayizrach lo Hashemesh kasher avar pinuel v'hu tzolei al yerecho. Now the sun rises. Screen on the set, the light turns on, right, on the set. And Kasher Avar Penuel, as he passed over that place, and he's limping, right? So, like, it really happened, right? He was really injured, right? And that's why Jewish people don't eat the sciatic nerve, which is in the, by the hip, whatever, the body of the animal, to this very day. Fascinating. It's always interesting when the Torah says that. What's Hayom Hazeh? Mm-hmm. What's this very day?
What you mean, right? Okay. Sciatic nerve.
Yeah. But what's Hayom Hazeh? Okay. Yom Hazeh means us, right? It's still true today. Fine, but okay. Akinaga bekaf yerech Yaakov begeden Hashem. Because Yaakov was injured there. Next, ask me a question there.
Oh my God, what?
We don't need the sciatic nerve because Yaakov hurt his leg in a fight with an angel? Like, what are you talking
about? Also, it's very like Megillah Esther, how it's like telling the story. And I'm like, and then to this day, these are the customs we have.
It's like this narrative.
Yeah. It's like these are some of the came and summed up the...
We're not going to go there now, but this is like some of like the biblical criticism, Chevra. Mm-hmm. They use phrases like this to argue, right, that there's multiple... which we don't believe. But like they do the same thing with like, you know... I forget where it is. I think it's one of the stories of Abraham, and it says, "Vaknani az ba'aretz." Right, the Kananim were in the land then. Again, like that's like a third narrator or a second narrator. Like, you know, by the way, parentheses, letting you know, right? So again, that's just Hashem, but that's some of those arguments. But fine. Okay, so there's like a million questions here, right? Okay. He's by himself. How did he get by himself? Who cares that he's by himself? Who is this Ish? I don't think we're really going to talk about the name of the Ish, which is also interesting. Why does he care? Why is Yaakov's name changed now? What is it about this story that leads to his name being changed? Who cares that he gets injured? Why the injury? Why does that need to happen? Let him just win.
How could he not beat Yaakov? Like,
good.
How is that possible?
Good. That's a better question than my question. I like that.
Well, yeah. If it was an angel, angels all have one purpose. Like maybe the angel's purpose wasn't like to beat Yaakov, but just to fight Yaakov so he could change its name.
Okay, but it's very interesting.
Angels didn't need to win. Angels can't do everything. They have one job.
Okay, but you would think if the angel is like a representative of Hashem, it could have enough strength.
I mean, it's not like he was able to defeat him. It didn't say he said it was
But that wasn't the objective here.
Couldn't defeat him. Like, why does he even have to tell us?
Right.
The story could have just been that he heard him.
He heard him. Right. Why does it say like he saw he couldn't defeat him, so he hears him? It's there's so there's like a million questions here, and we only have another less than a million minutes.
So we're gonna
bring some answers to some of these questions, and I think it's gonna give us a little bit of, I hope, some understanding of what's going on here. I actually don't want to see the Rashi just yet. You know, let's just see it, and we're going to come back to it. Look at right, Vayivater Yaakov Levado. What does it mean that he was left by himself? It says Rashi, Shachach Pachim Kitanim V'Chazar Aleihem.
He forgot.
He forgot what? Pachim Kitanim. Little
vessels.
Little containers. And he went back to get them.
Of what?
It's based on a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Chulin that says this, that basically he took what happened. He takes the whole family across the Ma'avar Yabok, brings them all across, right? And then what happens? He realizes, oh, never happens to me when we take our whole family somewhere and we schlep all this stuff. I would just say, like, whenever we go, like, to my in-laws or, like, to my sister-in-law, sure blah, blah, blah. I was like, whatever the stuff is that we left, just text us tomorrow and we'll come back. Yeah, exactly. We'll come back and get it because, you know, whatever. So retainers, whatever it is that we lost that I'll come back 2 hours to get because now we can't go to sleep because we forgot our melatonin or whatever. You know, so what happens? Like a regular father of 12 children, he left some stuff. He thought he had everything. He didn't. So because he left some stuff, what did he do? He goes back. So why is that a helpful explanation?
Why is he by himself?
That explains why he's by himself.
So why would he go? Why would he go by himself? He doesn't have servants, men.
Good. So why is he going by himself? Also like
he left his family.
Why does the Midrash, why does the Gemara at least need to make that? Why is that the answer? Okay. Hop for a second to...
Left alone,
that's passive, not
well,
active.
Well, to your question, if he has 12 sons,
yeah,
and he goes by himself to get the Pachim Katanim, mm-hmm, what does it mean? Who didn't volunteer to go with that? No, I'll be there in a minute. Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah. Who wants to help set the table? Nobody. Right. Maybe that's the left alone, is that no one came with him.
He's left alone.
We're going to see a Das that came later. Let's see some of that. But I want to show you just for a second. I want to show you. Look at source number 6 for 1 second. It's just a follow-up. Rav Hirsch is following up in this Gemara in Chulin, which Rashi quotes. He says something very interesting. He says, according to our sages, you want to see where I am? Source 6? Mm-hmm. According to our sages, Nishtayir apachin ketanim. Right? Again, he went back for the small vessels. After he brought everything across, he returned to see whether something had been forgotten. Well, so the first changed a little, right? He didn't even go back because he knew he forgot them. He went back just in case he forgot something. And to this they add, Mikan let tzadikim shechaviv aleihem mamonam yoser migufam. You see that tzadikim care about their money more than their bodies. Why? Because they don't steal things. Meaning, doesn't mean that he's obsessed with wealth. And this is actually the opposite. It's very inexpensive things he's going back for, right?
He's careful with those things.
Right. So property that a righteous person acquires honestly, even something of the slightest value, is sacred in his sight. He will not squander it or allow it to go to waste, and he's held responsible for its proper use. A vast sum is like a shoelace to him. When he gives up this sum for the sake of a good cause. Who's that referencing? A shoelace? Who says, I won't take a shoelace from you? Avram Avinu, after he defeats the four kings and the five kings. And Melech Sodom says, I'll give you the money, give us the nefesh, right? Give us the people. And he's like so offended. And he says, Misruch v'atzroch na, I won't even take a shoelace from you. Mm. Right? That, meaning he was offered millions of dollars, and he said that has the value of a shoelace. Why? Because it wasn't acquired in a way that he felt was honest. Mm-hmm. He didn't want that, right? So meaning millions can be like a shoelace when he gives up this sum for the sake of a good cause. But a shoelace is like a vast sum to him if it's about to be wasted for no reason or purpose. Right? So it's a very fine line, right? Meaning not to waste, you're like, come on, like how valuable money is so important? And it just depends what the money's for and how it was acquired. Right? Money that's acquired honestly and with yashrus and with, you know, and integrity has a lot of value, and then you shouldn't waste it at all, Right? But going after money just for money is not a is not a value per se, especially if it's not acquired honestly, right? So interesting.
Some things may have sentimental value too.
Correct. Yes. A person who is not poshet yado bagezel, someone who calls his own only what he's acquired through honest effort, will see the graces of God's providence in every possession he acquires. Everything that he owns, even the very smallest possession, has come to him through honest sweat and toil and through God's blessing, and hence is of an inestimable value. So this is a side point, but it's just very interesting that maybe what Chazal are teaching in this moment is, again, maybe it's just an explanation how it could be. Is it possible that's why he went back? Yeah, it's possible. Does it have to be the reason? Not necessarily. But then what's the value that's being taught? A very different value. Mm-hmm. A value in terms of how you... You know, there's a lot of Mamari Chazal and things that, like, mm-hmm. the conversations that flow from this Rashi about this question of, like, the value of things versus the value of things.
But I think it's really right. important lesson right. for us today when, like, it's so easy to get things. Yeah. You could be so frivolous with what you have, especially, like, with kids' toys. Like,
it's very hard.
Whatever, if they break it, we'll throw it out. There's a million other toys. Who cares? But I feel like this is a lesson of, like, well, no, you paid for it, or it was, like, whatever it is. Like, it's yours. Don't just right.
and also let it being go able to waste. And also being able to let go of things that don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's a fine line, right? It's a very fine line, which I find it very interesting. Fine, but that's Rashi's explanation. Look at the Rashbam. It's Rashi number 3. Rashbam says here, back to 3. Vayakam balaylahu. He got up that night. Says Rashbam. I'll tell you exactly why he got up. Niskaven livroach. Derech Acheres. He's the only one who says this, by the way. Almost none of the other Mefarshim explain why he gets up in the middle of the night. Rashbam says, I'll tell you exactly why. It's very obvious. He gets up to run away. He's not moving closer to Esav. He's not preparing for the meeting. He prepared for the meeting. In the middle of the night, he wakes up in a panic. And he decides he's out. I'm not doing this. That's why he went over. He crosses it at night. Why? And when Avshalom, David's son, right, wants to take over, and he threatens David's life, and now David has to run away, and what happens? Bidrachim alalo sheyarden, he has to go, you know, by the Jordan River. Umachanaim sha'avar Yaakov ubalayla. Bottom line is, if you're trying to get away in, what do we say? You run away in the middle of the night, right? Why? Because that's how you escape. People don't escape in broad daylight. Most of the time, you escape in the middle of the night. And that's exactly what Yaakov's trying to do. So just Rashbam points it out. Don't think that this is like, oh, he's coming closer to Esav and they're just like traveling. No, he's running away. Okay? And then what happens? Vayavaser Yaakov levado. Now he's by himself. So what happened? Klomar, Shehivir kol shalo. He'd already brought everything over the Ma'avar Yabok. Shalo haya od la'avor elahu levado. He had nothing left to bring except for himself. V'ratza la'avor acharem. And he's getting ready to follow his family, who had already gone ahead. That's what he was trying to do. Meaning, he's basically trying to get away. You know, what does a good dad do? He sends his wife and children ahead, and he brings up the rear. And so he's like by himself in the sense that he's just falling behind. He didn't leave anything. He's not going back to get something. Nothing's happened. But they're on their way. They're running away, which, by the way, they're used to doing. Who did they just run away from last week's Parsha?
Lavan.
And they ran from Lavan also. Right, so they're used to being on the run a little, right? Yaakov is also used to being on the run. When was the last Yaakov was on the run a different time at night? 2 weeks ago. Last week? Right? When he runs away from Esav. Right? There's a lot of running away from it, of Yaakov. Yaakov does a lot of running, right? And a lot of times at night, right? Trying to, right? And so what happens? Vayavek Ishimo. Vayavek Malach. Says the Rashbam. Okay, are the greatest pashtan there is, who will not tell us any midrash or anything that he doesn't think is the simple text, says it's a malach. It's a malach. Again, I think maybe because the Piniel story here, the fact that he calls it panim panim, the Rashbam can't ignore that, right? So he's going to call it a malach. A malach fights with him. Why? Why does a malach show up? Out of where? For what? Very simple reason, says the Rashbam. Shlo yuchal livroach.
Stop running away.
God sees what Yaakov is doing and he says, enough. He stops him. And he sends a malach to stop him. For how long? Until Alos HaShachar. Because by the next morning, what can't he do anymore? It's too late. He can't run away. So Hashem literally sends a malach to stop him from running. Right? Kiyum haftachaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yazikeu Esav. Hashem had already promised him, right? That Esav's not going to hurt him, right? Hashem had made that promise to him, and therefore he wants Yaakov to see it through. Don't run. So Rashbam is a very kind of like nice, simple explanation. The whole story, he's running away, he's scared. Mm-hmm. He's left by himself because he's just bringing up the rear. And the Malach comes to stop him, to force him to face Esav.
It's just a tough message to hear because, I don't know, that's just tough to think that he was running away when he did all this preparation. He, the army, the davening, the sending gifts, having Hashem's word. Like, you did all of that, you're ready, and you still don't have the faith. Like, didn't he have a dream where he saw the ladder and it was connecting the heaven and earth and he realized, wow, Hashem is here? Like, and now he's having this, like, lack of faith in Hashem and he's trying to sneak out in the middle of night.
Have you ever prepared to do something kind of big, let's say? And like there's like a lot of pieces to put together. And like you're trying to get it all together and you're trying and you're making a plan. And at some point like the last one more thing like goes wrong and you're like, what you want to do is what? You want to just like give up. You want to run away. You want to get into bed. You want to run, right? You're not interested. You know what? Forget it. Forget it. And you may have already invested a lot of time and energy. It's probably why you stay in the end, right? You invested all this time and energy and you're like, again, another thing goes wrong. And you're like, you know what? Actually, I'm not doing this. Because what? Because you're afraid.
I know.
It's going to mess up. I'm going to blow. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to fail. And it's not going to work.
It's just nothing went wrong here. Like nothing changed. I don't know. It's just changed. It's a tough pill. I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just saying as like someone in like the tribe of Israel.
As a Jew.
Like I don't love that Yaakov.
Right.
It wasn't a great moment.
Oh, but is it that it bothers you that Yaakov would act that way? Or it bothers you to say that that's the pshat? Like, you don't think it's like
the former
reasonable.
The former, right. Like that's a trouble. Like that's it's troubling to accept.
Right. I actually find it
empowering. Relatable.
Yeah, relatable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's everything the avos do.
You love when the avos like fall short.
Makes me feel better.
Yeah, I guess.
Not fall short. I like when they're not regular people. They're not. Mm-hmm. We have to remind ourselves that I always make this caveat, right? They're not regular people. They're not. They're huge people. But they are people. Right? They are people. And also, I'm not the only one who... First of all, the Rashbam says it. So that... I like it when the Rishonim say that. Mm-hmm. Right? But I just find it fascinating. After all that he did, he got all ready. The guy's like doing great. Yaakov's making it work. And then his brother's coming and he's like terrified and he's going to run away again. And also, that's become his MO, running away. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's very reasonable now. And by the way, if that's what's happening here, how do you explain? We don't even have the Rashbam for the change of his name. But how do you explain the change of his name according to the Rashbam? Now the angel says to him, "Your name is not Yaakov anymore. Your name is Yisrael." Because you were willing to struggle. Mm-hmm. Meaning, why are you called Yisrael? Because you didn't
run away.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to run away and hide. You're going to fight.
Yeah, and the name is a way of like forcing it. Like you can't
Hashem
do that
forced him because Hashem knew he could do it, right? But Hashem forced him to this really uncomfortable spot and forces him to work hard and forces him to fight. And by the way, doesn't go so great, he gets hurt in the process. And he's left injured forever from that fight.
That's what I was going to say. It adds to the story because it's like, you still want to run away. Well, you can't now because you're limping. Like,
okay, Hashem, by the way, that's and some unfortunately say that. That he's, maybe we're going to see this. That he was actually, like he's left there. Mm-hmm. Injured, and Hashem's like, just face him. Mm-hmm. Stop it already, right? But he's left with the wound forever, right? So it's not like, it's not simple. I like it because it's life. It's very, to me, it's like very validating. Like that's what life is like, you know? And that's what these stories are here for, right?
And you know, it also makes sense with that explanation that like they were struggling all night long and he saw that he couldn't win. It was like Yaakov still wanted to run away. Like he couldn't win that. He couldn't get him to stay.
I said to injure him. Right. Meaning he couldn't, lo yacholo, he wouldn't be able to be successful in holding him till the morning. So he injures him. Rather than winning, right? He injures him. That's very good. I like that. Take a look at the Otzer Midrash, source number 5. It's a Medrash Tanchuma, I think. And that says the following. Vayavek ishimo. Valama nishlach lo hamalach lehavek imo. Why did Hashem send a malach to fight with him? Kevan Sharak Rosh Baruch Hu Shu Mit Yarei Me Esav. Since he saw he was afraid of Esav, Shalach Lord Michael. This is not the way the one we usually talk about. Okay? He sends Michael. La'asos imo im Yaakov miriva to fight with him. Hadau dichsi vayavek ish imo and vayar ki lo yacholo v'gomer. That's what it's talking about. Amar lo Michael. Michael says to him, Acha shenodu lo Yaakov shu malach v'lo yacholo. He seems that he's a malach, right? Umani shani yachar min asarim harishonim. Kach asisali v'atayim min yarei me'isav. He says, I'm a malach. And you won. You're afraid of Esav? Amazing. It was like chizik. Yeah. Right? This is a different pshat, right? Sent it to him, why? As chizik. You can do it, Yaakov. Look how you defeated. You defeated an angel. Right? Because like you said, Jenny, what do you mean? I thought angels couldn't win. Shouldn't the angel win? Okay, so maybe Hashem sent him like a dialed down version of an angel, right? But to show him what he could do, right? You can do this. Okay, but just keep on going. Adalos HaShachar, next Medrash, and Medrash Lech HaKhtov. Umaze Balam Din, what is this coming to teach us? Ad Shalem HaShachar Yisrael. Okay, so this takes it very, this is now, because the story of Yaakov fighting with the angel is not just about Yaakov fighting with an angel. Right? Ma'ase Avot Siman Labanim, whatever happens to the Avos is a message for all of us. It's not just like some story about one person, right? So what's Adalos HaShachar? It's until the salvation of Am Yisrael, Shehu Domela Shachar, which is called, right, it's called the morning. Kia Galus Domela Laila. Galus is like, exile is like darkness, and, you know, the Geula is seen as the day of light. V'umos ha'olam mumachus Edom harasha heim nevakim im Yisrael kadil atosa miderech Hashem. What's going to happen? All the nations of the world are going to attack us and fight us and try to get us not to follow Hashem. Sh'neva shuvi shumi ashulamis shuvi v'nechzebach. Right, they're trying to attack us, etc. And what happens? So he fights them at Adalos HaShachar, and when he finally is successful, what's the point being? That even though we're going to fight with Edom, right, who is Esav's descendant, right? But the point is that Esav is, right, it's always Esav, Sonia, Yaakov, right? The worlds, the nations that fight with us and hate us, etc., we fight until Amud HaShachar, and finally he's successful, right? Mm-hmm. And the point being that it's supposed to be a symbolic of what's going to be with us in the future. And Rav Hirsch says something similar to source number 6. He writes in the bottom there of source number 6, we just read the top. By Vasei Yaakov Levado, Yaakov weighed the little help he could count on from his people against a relatively large force of 400 men that Esav was bringing against him. And this thought elicited from him a desperate cry to God, a cry which has yet remained unanswered. This desperate cry of Hatzilinam, he says to Hashem, Hatzilinam miyadachi miyadisav, save me, is indicated by the prophets as the third sign of the Geula. The Geula that appears amidst the total helplessness of the Galus. So too, the experience that finally gave Yaakov to so profound an answer came to him at a moment when he was without even the little help he thought he could count on. The experience came to him when he was left utterly alone, entirely dependent on what was innate in his own personality. Meaning that Am Yisrael, right, sometimes the Geula comes for Am Yisrael when?
The darkest,
when we feel the most alone. Because what happens when you're the most alone? What do? Where do you turn? Yeah, it's in those moments when you feel the most boxed in. There's no atheist in a foxhole, is a real thing, right? You start to feel like I have nowhere else to go, so I gotta go to Shem. No choice. That's what's happened to us, right? And that's what happened this year, right? That sense of like, you know, I have nowhere else to turn. So people turn back because they realize, shoot, that's all I got. And it reminds them. It's not a negative thing. It's something that is done to us, unfortunately, at times, and it allows us to reorient ourselves. So, in a certain sense, that's how Yaakov gets kind of put left by himself, right? The symbolism nationally of that is when Yaakov and Yisrael is left by ourselves. What do? Then we're willing to fight. Right? Then we get the strength to fight, and then we come out on the other side and realize how strong we really are. We never would have realized how strong we were until then. We don't ask for it. But when we get it and we fight and we win, so then I never knew I had that type of koach inside of myself. Right? It can be very different. I'll just share with you, I have more things than I have time, but I want to show you a couple other things. Take a look at refer. I'm going to show you, look at source number 7. Bali Pelzer just says something so interesting about this idea of the Gid Anasha. What's the Gid Anasha? Now we don't need the Gid Anasha. Like, why is that? So Das Kingdom says the following. Al Kain Sha Asu Bene Israel Shaloka Hogan. Shenichul Aleches Yechidi. They left Yaakov by himself. What should they have done? They should have gone with him. Right? To pick up those vessels. They should have left him by himself. Or he was hanging out in the back. Dad, I'll stay with you. They should have left him by himself. V'lo asu lo leviya. They didn't escort him. V'huzak ayadam. Because of that, it's their fault. Right? It's Am Yisrael. Right? The Bnei Yisrael. It's their fault that he got hurt. Lakach asr lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gid anasha. And therefore Hashem made a promise or made a tax on Am Yisrael that you can never eat the gid anasha. Kadei sheyu zihirim b'mitzvahs leviya. We should always be careful of the mitzvah of escorting guests. Misham. V'sham ve'ilech. Lakach husr Yaakov le'lavos et Yosef b'no. Kisha shachol achiv. And that's why Yaakov, right, was, you know, told he was supposed to, you know, send an escort with Yosef when he went to see his brothers. He didn't do that in the end, right? And that was wrong. And then what ended up happening, Yosef gets killed. Or gets taken captive and thrown in the pit. But the point is that, what is Al Kain, therefore Gid Anasha forever? Why? Because that moment, even though it was necessary for Yaakov, he needed it, etc., he learned all the lessons, and at the end of the day, wouldn't have happened if what? If his sons had escorted him. Mm-hmm. And so we were like left with this reminder forever, never to leave. A Jew never leaves another Jew alone. Right? You never leave another person by himself. So all kinds of halachos.
I thought this would be like a kibbutz aim.
Halacha, it is a little bit there also. But right, there's all kinds of halachos, by the way, in davening. When we say... at the end of davening on Friday night, at the end of Shemona Esrei, we add this other, we say Vachulu, and then we say like this like very short Shemona Esrei type of thing. It's called Me'in Sheva. That whole thing. So why is that there? That's there because on Friday night, there's a concern that the Shemona Esrei is very short, and there'd be people, the shuls used to be in the fields, and the concern was that the guy who has a long Shemona Esrei, everyone's going to be done already, they're going to leave, and he'll be left by himself. And so Chazal added that bracha so that what? That everyone would stick around longer.
Wow.
Shouldn't walk by himself. Right? Baruch Hashem, the Olam Amen V'Amen has a similar, there's similar halachos like this for that reason. Because we're just, a Jew doesn't leave another Jew behind. See, brachos, because it's Shem Hashem. Right? All to set up that, don't leave another Jew behind. And Gid Anasha has the same exact purpose. I mean, if you ask butchers, especially Ashkenazi butchers, it makes them lose a lot of money. Gid Anasha, because unless you know how to take it out just exactly, the gid, they take the whole hind quarters they don't use. And it can be a big waste. Go back to our first point. Because of that, and it's a big loss of money, right? All why? A Jew doesn't leave another Jew behind, which is fascinating. But I want to share with you one last
idea.
Okay, 2 minutes. One last idea. This is sort of related, but sort of not. It's related, but it's not. It's a different shot. Nathan Sharansky was once time, gave a Dvar Torah. He was like talking to a Jewish group. And he gave a Dvar Torah. And he said, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. He said Yaakov is left all by himself and he has to fight until the morning.
Talking about being isolated.
So he says, Sharansky said, he is a drasha. He's a drasha on the pasuk. He says, we say Ma'aseh Avos Siman LaBanim. What happens to our fathers happens to, it becomes, you know, a legacy for their children. What does the word Vayivater mean? It means not just to be alone, it also means to be Mevater, means to give in. Okay, to be mevater means to give. You know, machlokes. Who's going to be mevater? Rich kids to be mevater. Oh God, thanks, Shmuley, great job. You were mevater. You gave in and you let your brother have the candy, whatever, right? To give in. So Nathan Sharansky said, "Vayivaser Yaakov levado." Somehow, it's only the Jews who are asked to be mevater, to give in. Right? We're asked to. He said it in the negative, right? Rockets, let it go. Don't exercise restraint. Don't, like, right? Only the Jews are always told, be mevater, be mevater. But my friend, Rabbi Moskowitz, in Boca Raton, so he said, that's true, but it's also true because Jews are actually good at that. Not in the context of our security, but in real life. Take a look at the Gemara in source number 10. The Gemara in Tainus says, tells a story.
Giving in.
Letting things go sometimes. Surrendering. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the Gemara says, there was a time when there's no rain, right? And everyone's davening, and Rabbi Elazar's davening, and he davens 24 brachos, and he's not answered. Rabbi Akiva goes, and he says, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Elata. And all of a sudden, it starts to rain. And everyone's like, whoa, what happened? Hava Meranin Neimer Rabbanan. Everyone's like, you know, everyone's kind of talking like, yee. Like, how did Rabbi Akiva get this done so fast? Rabbi Elazar couldn't. Yatsa Sabaskal V'Amra, the Baskal comes out and says, voice from Shemayim, Lo Mipnei Shezeh Gadol Mizeh, Ela Shezeh Ma'avir Al Midosav, V'Zeh Einu Ma'avir Al Midosav. The reason why Hashem listened to Rabbi Akiva and not to the other person is because Rabbi Akiva was a person who could be let things go. A compromiser. A person who's willing to let people would hurt his feelings, he'd let it go. They tell a story, and we have story number 11. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Kol Ma'avir Midosav, Ma'avir Lo Kol Bashav. Person who's able to let things go, right, to be mevater, so then Hashem is mevater for them, right? Wow. So there's an amazing story every Israel Mary Lau. This is right after or during, I think right after COVID, Rabbi Lau was speaking to the chief rabbi of Israel. So he was speaking to a group of boys who missed their bar mitzvah because of COVID. Mm. Right? This is a thing, right? Remember this, a long time ago. All these kids missed their bar mitzvah. And he said, I want to tell you this story. So Rabbi Lau came out of the Holocaust and he was an orphan, no parents. And so he was raised by his uncle, whatever. Came time for his bar mitzvah. And he's having his bar mitzvah. Initial what's a bar mitzvah? Bar mitzvah meant he was going to lane the parsha and have some herring afterwards or whatever, right? So he gets up to lane. And some older gentleman in the shul also walks up to lane. Mm-hmm. And they said, it's his bar mitzvah. And he says, No one told me. I prepared the whole parsha. And then he says, see, this is how they always treat me. No one cares about me. You just take me for granted. I spent a whole long time preparing. Rabbi Lau was 13. He said, it's okay. I have a lot more years. I'll land the parsha next year. Mm-hmm. You go ahead. Wow. Can you imagine?
Who was this kid?
Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. Wow. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, who became the chief rabbi of Israel. So he said, I think that was the first mitzvah I ever observed. Mm-hmm. Said to be mevater. The first mitzvah I ever observed. To be mevater, to let it go. You know? And he said, this man clearly had a lot of pain in his life and whatever it was. He couldn't let a bar mitzvah boy go in front of him. He says, I let it go and I land next year. And it was okay. I mean, I would never allow that to happen, ever. Sure. But his point was, right? Like, sometimes we give things up for somebody else, and it's it speaks so much more about us, right, than anything else that we do, and that's like what we're able to do. And I think it actually fits to the whole story, actually, because what's Yaakov really learning to do by the time this whole story's end? Yaakov until now is always running for his own, to like, you know, not self-serving per se, but he's not willing to kind of like deal with or address his challenges, right? He's always running away from them, right? Until finally at the end. He's a little bit like Ma'avir Al Midosav a little bit, right? It's not exactly, right? But he's able to, like, address himself, finally. And then the story, Hashem literally forces him, right, to remind himself that you can do this. You can do hard, right? We to say to kids all the time, I can do hard things. Right? We have to tell our 20-year-olds sometimes, right? You can do hard things. It's okay. You can do hard things. Things are hard sometimes. Sometimes things are hard, and sometimes it's hard to address them, and it's hard to look at them and look people in the eye, and it's hard to look ourselves in the eye, and it's hard to... And the answer is, sometimes Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to hold on to you for a second. Look in the mirror for a minute. You can do it. You can do something hard. You can do something a little difficult. You can address, right, yourself and address the things in your life that are challenging. And it's going to be better for you in the end. And it might hurt. And you might be left with a scar from that battle, right? But in the end of the day, you're going to emerge a much stronger person and a person who can impact maybe many others. Because of that experience that you have, so I think that is the story, and that's the Rashbam really, you know, really takes us there. But I think it that's the story of Yaakov, and that's why to me it is the apex. Everything else, now that he's done that, he can do everything else going forward, right? Once he's able to face himself, so now he'll be able to manage all the challenges that will come forward afterwards because he's willing to do that. Okay,
have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much.